Welcome to the Self-Publishing School Podcast. This is the podcast to listen to if you're an aspiring writer or an author who wants to be more successful. On this show, you'll learn how to write and launch a book successfully, all from the top authors and people just like you who are doing it at the highest level. I'm your host, Chandler Volt, the founder of Self-Publishing School, the author of the book called Published, and the CEO of selfpublishing.com. For free training on how to publish a book that sells 10,000 copies, go to selfpublishing.com/free training. Hey, Chandler Bolt here, and joining me today is Brenda Vince. Brenda is the author of multiple books, 11 to be exact, and she's a transformational coach. She's a former Fortune 100 senior executive who does a lot of speaking, coaching, executive consulting, like a lot of really awesome things. And a fun fact that I just learned right before this interview is she sold over 100,000 books offline, not online. So yes, that is possible. We'll get into that a little bit. We're also going to talk about using a book to land corporate consulting clients, corporate executive coaching clients, speaking gigs, all that good stuff. It's something that I think we haven't talked about a ton on the podcast. So you're in for a treat. Brenda, great to have you here.
Thanks. Thanks, Chandler. Great to be here.
So take me back. Why did you decide to write your first book, and why have books kind of become such a big part of your coaching and your speaking practice?
Well, you know, Chandler, I had developed my own personal branding system. So I come from, you mentioned big corporations, and I had built many, many brands over the years. I mean, that's what was my job. I knew how to build these massive mega brands, and personal branding was just getting started. And I thought, ooh, I could see how you could take that mega brand concept and apply it to people. And so I developed this, my own personal branding system based on how companies build mega brands. So it was a really sweet spot. But I was fairly new into the professional speaking space at that time too. And two events happened that spurred me on to write my first book. First, I spoke at an event for General Electric, big corporation, 175 women. And this is it's a funny story, but I got done speaking and I walked to the edge of the stage, no women's clapping. And I suddenly realized all the women were lining up around the edge of the auditorium to speak to me. Well, that's kind of interesting, right? So I stand there and I speak to the first person. She looks a little bit strange, like, what are you doing? And then she walks away. And the second woman, we start speaking and she looks funny too and walks away. And the third woman looks at me and she goes, I'm here to buy your book. I said, oh, I'm so sorry, I don't have a book. And it was like a game of telephone. She turned around and said to this long line, she doesn't have a book. And it was like, she doesn't have a book. 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 And I'm like, I think I need to write a book, right? So that was my first kick in the, you know what? But secondly, I was not too long after that, I was asked by some fellow professional speakers to join them in a program that they were putting together. There were going to be five other speakers and myself, and we were going to be doing it in one country, and then we were going to go to a different country in Southeast Asia. So we started in, I think we spoke in Singapore first, and at the end of that day, one of the other speakers came up to me and said, I'm blown away by what you shared. It's the most extraordinary stuff I've ever heard. I mean, and no one's ever presented it that way. And I was like, this is so nice. Thank you. And the next day we speak in Bangkok, we flew to Bangkok, and he told my speech on stage in front of everybody. He took all my content and told it. And so I had to stand up there and try to pretend to say something else because he loved it so much. And I thought, okay, there's two ways to look at that. One is, how dare you? I'm not going to go there. Second one is to say, you know what? If this is so good that someone is willing to steal it in front of me, I need to get this in a book. So all these little signs kept showing up for me to get it in a book. And so I thought I would go the traditional publishing route, Chandler. And so I started looking for traditional publishers, and they were very interested, but they were saying it's going to be 24 to 36 months before I could get the book out. And I'm thinking, 24 to 36 months, I've got people, I need to buy this book right now, right? She doesn't have a book. She doesn't have a book. She doesn't have a book. So anyway, long story short, I end up at a conference sitting side by side next to a gentleman named Dan Pointer. And I don't know if you know who Dan is, Chandler, but Dan Pointer was the author of the original book called Self-Publishing Manual, long before there was Chandler Bolt and Self-Publishing School. And that's what we had back then in terms of self-publishing. And so I sat next to him and he convinced me to self-publish at that time.
And it's just been incredible ever since. So glad we made that self-publishing decision. And the first book came out. I killed myself to get it out quickly. And it's been a joy and a ride ever since.
That's awesome. That's cool. So we're carrying the torch on self-publishing. That's fun. It's always fun to hear about early people who are just like kind of sparking this industry, right? That now exists. And with self-publishing school, with self-publishing.com, like those are both brands that we're building. And it's just cool to hear about the early days, because we wouldn't be doing what we do today if it wasn't for people like him who were making self-publishing easier and approachable for people. So talk to me about, how do you sell the first copies of those books? Was it through your talks? Was it, I know we'll talk later about, I know you've moved a bunch of books offline, but was it mostly through your speaking or something else?
Well, so what we did something on that book that we hadn't done since, to be honest, but we had a massive book launch. And I mean, we invited 350 people, rented out a big room, big ballroom in a hotel, invited all these people to come, had a speaker, had an MC, had a, you know, I spoke on the book, and then we sold books in the back of the room. I think we sold like 300 books, and that really got it started, because I invited a lot of corporate clients. And so those corporate clients came, and of course I did a book signing, and everyone got a signed book, and we had made little bookmarks and things like that of comments around the topic of the book. And that was all very exciting. So we launched it that way. And that really started spurring on people like, oh, that's interesting. Why don't you come talk to, and during the book launch, I talked about, I'll be speaking on this topic, I'll be coaching on this topic, et cetera. So it just kind of started the ball rolling in terms of getting people to have that book in the hand, started the business stronger. Mm.
So big book launch at the start. And then it sounds like getting the right people in the room at that book launch and getting the book in the hands of the right people so that they could then book you for speaking and consulting and coaching. And then that sparked more opportunities. Can you talk about how do you, I think this is something that probably a lot of people are wondering, is how do you market your book in a way where you get that book in the hands of the right people? So if we're talking specifically for big corporations or people who can book you to speak or for executive coaching and that sort of thing, how do you do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is a big part of it. And it's the beauty of marketing and selling your own books. I'll give you an example. I'll give you just an example. I get in front of corporations, right? I get in front of corporations. Maybe it's just a small group. I'll give you an example. 10 years ago, I spoke to 24 leaders at a large pharmaceutical company. Now, when I speak, Chandler, I do a few things. First of all, I make sure that I make it part of the contract that every participant gets a book. And it's going to be signed by me. I put little book plates inside of it too, which makes it very personal. You put, in fact, I'm getting ready to sign some for an engagement next week, but you just put a little book plate. I'm going to sign this. I'll rip it off. It's a little plastic. It's like a little sticker, and I'll stick it on the inside of a book. So that's cool. Specialized for their specific event. It has the date, it has the corporate logo, my name, and then I'll sign. Okay, so it's all signed books. Yeah. So that's really nice. And so, and I make sure that every participant has that. That's part of the contract. So I beef up my contract, my speaking contracts by the cost of the book so that they all get a book. I want them to have a book. Now, I automatically also have them sign up for specialized, what I call e-blasts. At the end of the program, after I've presented the book, I do the program, I give everybody a book, they're excited to have a book, and I always say, and thanks to the company, they have arranged for you to get a free copy of my book. Now they love it. The company looks fantastic. Yeah. They're happy. They're happy towards their company, and it's just a nice way. And plus it keeps the learning going. You can only speak for, in an hour or 2 hours, you're only going to say so much. So it gives them more depth. But I also do something else called e-blasts. And what is this? What it means is for 6 months, every 2 weeks, I get their emails, and their companies give me their emails, or they sign up directly. And I'm going to send them a new tip, a new tool, a new technique for that particular topic I'm talking about. Now, in those e-blasts are just sent out through, we use Constant Contact. The client's logo is at the top, and it has the topic and the month when we met. And they will go out automatically for 6 months. They're all pre-programmed. At the end, I encourage them to sign up for my regular newsletter. So all those people I speak to over the years and the months, they sign up for my regular newsletter so that we can stay in touch. Most people do. Now, just to give you an example, 10 years later, this is 10 years ago, those 24 people signed up for that, those e-blasts. And I've done hundreds of speaking engagements since then. But I sent out another one during COVID and didn't even think about it. But I got an immediate note from someone who's that was at that original 24 group, same pharmaceutical company he's in, but in a much bigger role. He's higher up in the organization now. And he pointed out that the newsletter had reminded him of me and that he still has my book on his bookshelf. We forget the importance of having that physical book on their bookshelf. My husband has gone into companies and they'll say, oh my gosh, your wife, we see her book everywhere, right? Yes. You know, that particular book's on everyone's bookshelf. And that had triggered him to reach out to me and hired me to do a speech for several hundred people online during COVID. Mm-hmm. Now, for that speech, I also talked to them about my latest book, and they love the idea of the book customization. So they bought books for all the participants as well. But then they went on to do something even more interesting. They wanted to get people to write a testimonial about the book so that they could replace my current praise section, because at the beginning of every book, I always have a praise for the book section. And they asked to have them all reprinted, their cost. They reprinted them and distributed them to a really large group of people. I mean, isn't that amazing? But interesting, they went on to recommending me to someone else in the same organization who's looking for a speaker for a much bigger event, a global event that's going to be held later this year in one of the US's largest cities convention centers. And that turned into a significant speaking fee. And I'm also going to pre-sell books there too and customize them to the audience. And can I tell you one more thing that's really interesting, Chandler?
Yeah.
The CEOs love to write a foreword for the book. If it's a big global event, if it's a big global event, you take the first page, which you would know, and you replace it with a foreword from the CEO. He or she writes it. You print those books specifically. That's the beauty of self-publishing. You can print those books directly, and you make it just for that audience. And when a CEO has sold the book or has his or her content in there, they're going to make sure everyone gets a copy because they have a vested interest in it. And it's a message that they want everybody to hear. So look, selling in book to large audiences is a great moneymaker. It moves a lot of books, you know, hundreds of thousands every time, but it also keeps your name and your content in front of people who are likely to hire you again and again and again. So your book is your best business card.
It's a flywheel, right? It started with the book, which led to a speaking gig, which leads to more books being given out, which leads to more people that can book you to speak. And it's a beautiful thing. One of the things, a lot of people say that a book is a new business card. I think a book is better than a business card because it's kind of, you can see that in the story that you just illustrated. It's like you give someone a business card, they're probably going to throw it away within 24 hours. Let's be honest.
And they won't throw away a book. That's a good point.
And it's not making it's not leaving the hotel room probably. But if they give you a book, you're keeping it. And every time it's in their office or in their house, they see it, they think of you. It's so funny. I always tell that story, but it's so cool to hear that story from you. That happened. That guy said, oh, now I've been promoted a bunch of times. I have the ability to now book you to speak at a massive event. And I still remember you because of your book.
And remember, the e-newsletters were key too. If you're not leveraging an e-newsletter, I know that Self-Publishing School supports that as well. You've got to have an e-newsletter to stay in touch with people. I have a nice LinkedIn following and all sorts of things, but that newsletter is probably the most productive because I have a 97% repeat rate from customers and a repeat or referral rate from customers. So we just keep them coming happy, 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 keep them happy and they'll come back again and again. And every time you launch a new book, they want to buy the new book and they want to buy the new programs that come along with the new book and the new coaching that comes along with the new book. Yeah.
That's awesome. So talk to me about when it comes to big corporations, we'll drill down in a little bit more on the coaching and consulting and speaking stuff in a second, but what would be your recommendation for someone getting started? Like getting their first contact or that first book in the hands of a decision maker. Any tips there, especially for people who maybe don't come from the corporate world?
Yeah. Go to organizations like the like business, local business chambers, chambers of commerce. Those are always looking for people to do free workshops or free talking, that type of thing. Go to bookstores where they have a business section and ask if you can give a free 20-minute speech, and people can come and you can market to different, maybe they have a list of companies that come in and buy books or whatever. Don't forget, everybody who is reading a book is probably working somewhere, right? They're probably working somewhere. And if you have a message that speaks to them, they could easily go back to their boss, to their peers, to their CEO and say, hey, you know, I heard someone the other day that's speaking and they did a great job. It'd be really great if we could bring them in. So don't underestimate just getting out there, getting the word out. Yeah. And when you go and, you know, talk about business cards, but make sure on your book business cards too, on the back of your book business card, if you have one, I know they're kind of old fashioned these days, but on the back, you can even say for a free, you know, 20-minute speech to your group, you know, feel free to reach out. Mm. Again, it's just getting started, yeah, getting your foot in the door.
Hey, Chandler Bolt here. I hope you're loving this episode so far. It's time to go from inspiration to implementation. All right, so if you've learned something, we want to help you implement what you've learned with your book. So what I want you to do right now is go to selfpublishing.com/schedule, book a publishing consultation with one of the experts on my team. We'll talk about your goals for your book, your dreams, your challenges, your next steps, and we'll start putting together a plan. All right, so go to selfpublishing.com/schedule, book a call with the team. Let's see how we can help with your book. It's time to implement.
Mm. And you talked about a little bit ago, having that first book launch party with, I think you said, a few hundred people there, and it sounded like the right people in the room. And so that feels like a very good way to get people in the room around that common theme of the book, which then leads to talks. Any other things like that? If you were to rewind back to like your first couple of speaking gigs or consulting clients or coaching clients, any other tips on just getting those kind of first yeses or first just even point of contact?
Tell everybody what you do. My very first speaking gig, paid professional speaking gig, was the ambassador of a country was supposed to have spoken. At the last minute, he canceled. And the client panicked, called me and said, I remember the other day you said you do professional speaking. Can you please come? And I said, yes. But I'm on one condition. You're going to pay me X and everyone in the room gets a book. And he's like, fine, come. So again, you just got to be creative on everything that you do. And now that, by the way, that client came back year after year after year and hired me for other things too. So you just got to let everybody know what you do. And you know what I often say to people say, oh, I have to tell people I'm an author. I said, no, don't. Some people feel uncomfortable with that, you know? And I said, no, don't say that. You say things like, I help leaders build inspiring leadership brands. And I do it through speaking, through coaching, and through writing books. Mm. You see the difference?
Yeah.
You're leading with the benefit first, but I've made it clear what the services are that I offer. And that always is it. I find that an easier way to kind of get in and talk about these things.
Cool. That's great. Do you ever ship people books or like speaking decision makers or conference decision makers? Like that, is that something you've ever done before? If so,
absolutely.
Was it successful?
Absolutely. You mean ship them like to the
Say I want to get booked for this big conference or this big association, and I can figure out the decision maker. Have you ever just unsolicited sent them a book with a note?
Unsolicited.
Like a way to stand out.
I did originally. Here's another thing you can do. And in fact, I was just looking at this book earlier, one of my books, and I realized that the person who gave the testimonial on the front, the endorsement on the front, I had sent them. So go to your particular target audience in a corporation and say, look, I'm writing my next book or my latest book or this book, and I'm looking for testimonials and I'd love to get one from you. Now, people love to see their name published in a book, right? Especially if it's a good book. And so I went out to all these CEOs and leaders and I said, would you be willing? And I helped them, by the way, because a lot of them don't have time to write their own. I'll say, here's some examples of testimonials that might be good, that we're looking for types of things for people to say. Usually they'll say, I'll take number 4, you know, put it in. Yes, they don't have a lot of time.
Yeah,
and they'll put it in. And so then you put them at the top. Well, guess what? When those books come out and it's got their name in it, I send them a free book. And I say, thank you so much for your endorsement. And this has happened many times where people say, oh, I love it. You know what? I'll buy 75 and I'll give it to this group or this division. Or, you know what? I want my whole company to have a copy. Why don't you go ahead and print an extra set for me? And again, I'll put that front page with the
forward. Or the endorsement or the forward.
Well, yeah. I call it a forward of sorts, because really what it is they usually talk about how this book impacted them and why it's important and why they decided to buy it for the group. But all of that's just, again, just get creative, think about ways to get people that are at those high levels making decisions around your book and wanting to have a copy. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. And including them. It's easy for someone to promote, I am in this book, therefore I bought copies for my entire staff.
Absolutely.
I like that a lot.
Those entire staff, they're on all of the bookshelves everywhere that they go. The one that did 75 was, I think he was based in Hungary. I ran into him in a resort in Southern Thailand, and he was in Hungary and he loved the book and he said, I'm willing to endorse it. And so he did. And I shipped 75 books to him. And now think about where those people are. They're all over the world with that book on their bookshelf, right?
Yeah, that's cool. And so question for you, I keep coming back to this, it's because I think there's probably a lot of people who feel similarly to me of just like that first point of contact. And you've given a lot of great tips. I'm curious if there's any other thoughts that you have. I think it's probably easy to be listening to this or watching this right now and be like me, right? It's like, hey, I'm from a small town. I went to a small school. I've run a bootstrap company. It's like, I've never really had corporate experience. Like how do I make that first point of contact, or where do I go to look for that person that could book me to speak or coach? You said associations, you talked about some other things. Any other tips or places you would look for kind of like that first point of contact?
Yes, make sure the book is where your audience is. Okay. So if you get on LinkedIn, if you're looking for business people, get into books. I'll tell you one example, get into the airport bookstore if you can. Mm-hmm. I went to a local airport bookstore and I said, would you sell this book? This is the exponential power of just selling one book, Chandler. So there's a CEO who went to the bookstore, apparently bought that book. It's 140 pages. It's not very long. It's called Smarter Branding Without Breaking the Bank, one of my earlier books. He bought that one book in the airport. He was flying from Singapore to Tokyo. It's a relatively short read. So in 6 hours, he'd read the whole thing. He landed in Tokyo. He says to his assistant, reach out to this author. I don't know where she is, but we want to hire her. He started off buying 15 books for his leadership team. Then that resulted in a full day training with that leadership team, then a brand positioning workshop that they wanted to do with that team, then a keynote to open up an annual conference to talk about that topic. And they loved it. And for every year, for 8 solid years, I worked with them and spoke with them at their annual conferences every single year. And for a while, I actually became their chief marketing officer while they were without one, because he just loved the way we were thinking. So all of that came from the power of selling one book in an airport. Get your book into places where those people will be. Associations. Go into offer to leave a few books in places where people are coming for books. I mean, just don't underestimate that. You know, get into libraries. I've had people in libraries reach out and say, I read your book in the library. So just get creative. Where are the people who you want to connect with? And think about where they shop, where they go, where they are online, where are they? And then think like them and put yourself, your book in that position.
That's really, really great. On that note, where are they? Anywhere else that you would say? I guess they being, in this case, corporate clients. So you said airport bookstores, you talked about associations, you talked about libraries. Anywhere else? I'm assuming conferences, like anywhere else?
Yeah, conferences, go to trade association meetings. Don't underestimate those if it's a special area that you can be in. If you have big conferences where people are going to be speaking on a specific topic, see if you can get in there with a table with your books. Cool. Don't underestimate. Again, wherever they are going to be is where you want to be. But this comes down to the importance of targeting. Targeting, who's your book really for? Yeah. And that's the first thing we do when we write a book, right? Who am I writing it for?
Yeah, that's great. I call that the four P's. It's like person, pain, promise, price, right? I talk about this where it's like, who's the person that this book is for? This is exactly what you're talking about, and getting super clear on that. Then what's the pain that they have that they know that they have? And then what's the promise that I can make with this book? And then what's the price that I'm selling it for, right? But getting clear on that helps you write a better book. And then it like you're saying, helps you get in front of the right audiences.
Yeah.
And I remember you mentioned Chamber of Commerce and other associations as well. I love the idea to start local, because that I think for a lot of people that probably feels more attainable of, okay, I've got a local Chamber of Commerce, a local Vistage group, a local EA, a local, you know, there's local organizations where I can tap into that.
Yeah. And you know, another thing that I do is go to local bookstores. Local bookstores are hungry, right? They are desperate. They're pretty desperate. It's pretty tough times right now for local bookstores, but don't underestimate, people buy books, right? And and so what I do is I go into the bookstores and try to get the books sold there. And many times they're happy to support local authors. So that's fine. But here's something fun to do. Maybe you talked about this too, but I go out and get these little yellow stickers that says signed copy, and I sign the books, and then I just rip this little sticker off and I put it on the front of the book. And they love it, because it's like, I have a signed copy from the author in the bookstore. They love that. You know, that type of thing. So again, don't underestimate the little things like that make all the difference in the world.
I love it. I love it. Let's couple final questions and then we'll wrap. I want to talk about let's talk about going from speaking to executive coaching and consulting. So how did you get your first clients? Kind of, it sounds like it started maybe with speaking and then your bulk selling books and all this stuff. How'd you get your first clients, and any tips for folks who want to break into kind of the executive coaching or consulting?
Executive coaching. So listen, when I decided executive coaching was clearly, I had been an executive and I knew it was lonely at the top, and I wanted to help those executives. So when I decided to become an executive coach, I wrote to 30 senior leaders that I had heard of or knew about. And I wrote them an email, each one of them on a very personalized email, and said, I am starting into executive coaching. I've taken a class on it. I encourage people to take a class. Don't just be a comma coach, as I call it, you know, Joe Smith, comma coach. You got to be more than that. You know, make sure you get some education around it. But then if you're going to coach on your topic, I wrote out to these 30 executives and I said, I am going to be doing executive coaching. And I my normal fee is this. But for now, for a very short time, I'm going to be doing it for, I think I did 50%, and it was already extremely low. 15 people wrote back and said, yes, I'm in. No, I did not expect that. I don't even think I was ready for that. But my point is, you don't even have to charge if you don't want. Just say, I'm going to do it complimentary for a while, or buy a copy of my book, and we'll use that as the basis of our coaching for the first, you know, 5 sessions. And then if you like it after that, we can continue at a paid rate or something like that. Get creative. Reach out to the people who you think this book, that's your target, your T you talked about, right? That first P you talked about, the person, the target, who is that? And make sure you reach out to them and say, this is a service I'm offering now, and I would love to work with you if you're interested. And here are the benefits of working with me for this.
Got it. Cool. So let's kind of final question that I have, and maybe this will spark some follow-ups, but you alluded to this before that we even started the interview. You said, I stopped counting a few years ago and it's over 100,000 books offline. And I think just candidly at self-publishing school, self-publishing.com, we're really good at the online stuff. I think we're not so great at the offline stuff. So I'd love to hear kind of what's worked well for you to move books offline. You've talked about a bunch of it kind of throughout this interview, but anything else that comes to mind is like the 2 or 3 biggest movers of books offline?
Well, I've done a few things that have been quite interesting. I mentioned the newsletters, which are really valuable because every time a new book comes out, that's great. But that's kind of online-ish, but still offline, right? But the other thing I would say is don't underestimate the power of signing up for book awards. I've won many book awards, and I've actually been paid for awards. My second book came out and I won $1,500 for it, and won a grand prize. It got lots of publicity, things like that. So everyone thinks you're going to make money from book sales, but the truth is you're going to make money from everything else, right? You're going to make money from the coaching, the consulting, the speaking, the et cetera. So yeah, let me share a couple other things. Don't forget about selling your books internationally. We have sold our books internationally to China, 9 countries in the subcontinent of India. I mean, all around the world. Why? We just go online. We're actually not online, but there's a gentleman who helps us. He ships them out to these places, these various brokers, and they will also help sell those books into countries that are really interested, not online, but they actually want to sell by the book and have it translated or whatever. So that's another way to do that. I mentioned bookstores. Bookstores are great. Again, international source, local book distributors, don't underestimate that. But I think the most important thing, talk about your book, talk in speeches, talk in your newsletter, everywhere you go, get out there and sell your books. My book's part of my coaching. I make books part of a courses I offer. I make it part of speaking. I make it, books are just the core, the hub of the spokes, if you would, in the wheel of all the things that book serves as the foundation of, and everything that you can do to drive business in that way. It's really powerful. It becomes the core.
This is so fun seeing someone doing so many of the things that we talk about and so well all in one. It's really, really cool to see and inspiring to see, Brenda. Thank you for sharing. What would be your parting piece of advice, knowing what you know now, to the Brenda of how many ever years ago before you wrote your first book, and all the other Brendas who are out there thinking, hey, I'm thinking about writing a book, and maybe even specific to the corporate world to grow my corporate consulting or coaching? What would be kind of your parting piece of advice, knowing what you know now?
You know, there's a reason that the word author is inside the word authority, right? When you are an author, you are an authority. And I think people underestimate the power of that. A book starts you on a complete new journey. It took me into places I never would have dreamt that I would have been. It builds such credibility. And it's true that more people are writing books than ever today, thanks to companies like yours. And that's fantastic. But it's still only a fraction of the people in the world who can actually say they've written a book. And you've got, I would say you've got something to say, and no one's going to be able to tell your story the way that you can. No two people on the planet are ever going to tell the same thing the same way. So get your book out there, you know, just do it. Just get out there. And the second thing I would say, Chandler, and I know you say this as well, hire an editor. I don't care how good of a writer you are. You must have your book edited, because if you really want it to come across, it's representing you wherever it goes in the world. That book is a piece of you. It's almost like, you know, your signature right out there around the world. So it's important that you have really, really great editors, and take advantage, I would say too, of the self-publishing, you know, school resources you have. When I started out, there weren't these amazing resources that are available today through your organization. So take advantage of that. They're tremendous resources.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Brenda. Where can people go to find out more about you, to buy your books, to learn more about your coaching and speaking services? Where's the best place to go?
Sure. Just come to my website. It's brendabentz.com. And almost all my books are on Amazon. By the way, I always do eBooks, paperback, hardback, and audio. So it's really important to have that variety, I think. So we do that. And then if you want to follow me on LinkedIn, I'd love that. I'm also on lots of social media channels, Facebook, Insta, Twitter, YouTube channel as well. So feel free to reach out. I'd love to connect.
Cool. I'm going to reach out on LinkedIn right after this. We'll connect there. BrendaBentz.com. Check it out, guys. Brenda, you're amazing. Thank you so much. This is a lot of fun.
Thank you, Chandler. It was great to connect. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for watching or listening to this episode of the Self-Publishing School Podcast. I know there's so many places that you could be spending your time. There's other podcasts that you could be listening to, YouTube channels that you could be watching. So thank you so much. It means the world. Now, I want you to do 3 things right now if you found this episode helpful. All right. Number one, I don't know if you know this, but we've got a YouTube channel. It's a companion channel to this podcast. All the video versions of the episode are on the YouTube channel. So number one, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Number two, if you're listening to this podcast wherever, whether this is Spotify, Apple Podcasts, number two, I want you to subscribe to this podcast right now so you don't miss a future episode. And then number three, this is probably the most important, leave a review on the podcast. All right, reviews are super important and help this podcast get discovered by
other people. So number three, leave a review on the podcast. Thank you so much. I'll see you in the next episode. If you're on the fence about scheduling a publishing consultation call with my team, maybe you're not quite ready for that, I've got some free training that I think will be really helpful for you. All right, all you have to do is go to register to sign up. Go to selfpublishing.com/free training. When you do, you're also going to get a free digital copy of my new book, Published. And on that training, you're going to learn the next step, so how to implement with your book. So how to write, how to publish, how to launch successfully. So go to register right now at selfpublishing.com/free training. I'll see you there.